And everyone knows that, like, Christmas trees and basketballs are exactly the same, just physics-wise.
Physics-wise, you know, yeah. all of the things, basically, if you can toss a basketball, you can throw a Christmas tree, mm-hmm. and stop thinking that you can't.
Welcome back to Show Me Yours podcast. I am Jackie Agnew.
I'm Johnny DeVito.
And thanks for coming on back to us, guys.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a minute. We were getting, we're getting a little comfortable, right?
Yeah, and, yeah. Fell into a routine of not doing anything.
Oh, my goodness. Well, longtime listeners of the podcast will know how much I hate work, and we worked very mm-hmm. hard to get into a place where we luckily haven't had to mm-hmm. work for the past little bit. And let me tell you, it's been sweet.
Yeah, and we weren't planning on taking a break from the podcast, but, got busy with comedy, kind of,
when you
just stopped doing it.
Yeah, exactly. When you move to a new city, you got to ingrace yourself in the, you know what I mean, in the scene. You got to get yourself involved mm-hmm. and also spend some time and enjoy life a little bit. But that being said, we heard... You know, voices from the streets calling us back.
Yeah, exactly. You guys, we thought we were out, but you kept pulling us back in.
And here we are. I hope you're fucking happy.
No, we never wanted to stop the podcast. We never planned to stop it, but we just took a break. And but we've been obviously always were planning to continue with the podcast. And
it was never dead. No, this is our baby, and this is something that... you know, we'll continue far after people ask us to do it. So,
I don't think anyone's asking at this point.
We had several requests, 7 to be exact.
I mean, everyone knows several is 7 if we're following season 46 of Survivor.
100%.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched episode 1, then plug your ears. But Jelinski, first boot this season, legendary player.
Yeah, there's, a perfect example of when a kid comes too hard too fast. He wanted to be a legend, and he will be remembered as such.
He made his mark in as little as one episode, but a classic moment when they're doing the sweater savvy challenge.
Yes.
And they opted for the sweat challenge, and so basically they had to fill up... these two like massive containers full of water from the ocean using buckets with holes in them, and they were told they had to flip a timer, one of those sand hourglass.
Yeah.
Yes. And they were told it would take several hours. And once Jelinski got about an hour in and then looked at the hourglass and realized that this version of several isn't the commonly agreed upon 7
yes,
hours.
Yeah.
And he promptly quit the challenge.
I think that for him to think that he could do that same challenge over the course of 7 hours was greatly, I think, overestimating his stamina and capabilities, but the fact for him just to quit just shows that there's no heart, no drive, and get the fuck off this television.
Yeah, well, I think he thought that he was going to have 7 hours and then realized it was closer to 3 hours, and then he was outraged that he was misled.
You know what? There's, excuses are like assholes and everybody's got one, and, know, the kid just had to go. So, if you guys are wondering what we've been up to.
We've been watching a lot. Hey, quick shout out to Deal or No Deal Island.
For sure.
That's been fantastic. The Traders.
Boston Rob's back in a big
way.
The Traders, solid.
It's a new era of Boston Rob, and it's really exciting to watch.
Honestly, it's just like another, it almost feels like a new era of reality television. And potheads like us, I think that's a very exciting time.
It is. Leave a comment letting us know your thoughts on season 46 of Survivor, season 1 of Deal or No Deal Island, season 1 or 2 of The Traitors, mm-hmm. Or season 5 of Tournament of Champions.
Oh, that's true. Yes,
or season 2 of Next Level Chef.
I believe that's season 3, babe. But
season 3 of Next Level Chef.
We have got to get a life.
Or seasons 1 through 11 of Vanderpump Rules.
That's definitely been on the table.
We could go on.
For sure.
So we've been up to some pretty important things in the absence of podcasting.
You know, I think when you spend so much time with the axe to the grindstone, when you finally got a little chance to catch up on a decade of Bravo television, then I think you take that opportunity.
You gotta do it. Andy Cohen, if you're listening, hats off to you, my friend.
Get us involved. I think we'd love to be a part of this. I'd love to, comment and pass my judgment on people I don't know.
Yeah. Not as important, of course, as Vanderpump, Housewives,
for sure.
Survivor, all that. But there is another update since we last saw you.
What's that?
Which is that you are now an uncle.
Which would make you...
Yeah, I guess that would make me an aunt. Not by blood, but by soul.
I think the best answer, not by blood. Yeah. That's actually not true. Shout out to Lisa. Shout out to Kathy DeVito. But that being said, I think I'm very excited. You know, my brother, not known for his, let's say, fatherly attributes.
Yeah.
Over the course of the 33 years that I've known him. But that being said, he's definitely has this like capability to rise to any occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing this very well. And I'm having some fun with it. You know, we're doing a lot of bits. We're talking a lot of trash, but...
Not we. I am not talking any trash.
Yeah, it's the colloquial we, you know. It is a very exciting time. It's kind of cool. I get to talk to him every day on the phone, and he gets to, kind of update me on this, these lives and the things that you do when you're a father that nobody ever told me about this. Now, babe, I want to ask you about a device.
Right.
Have you ever heard about a device that makes babies fart?
No.
So basically what's happening here is that they sell this on Amazon, which put a little picture up of it, because basically there's just like a little, that's like a 3-inch long plastic tube.
Right.
One end of it being much smaller than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically put that up a baby's butt and it gets to this like air pocket and then lets them fart out the end of the tube.
I mean, it's pretty funny.
Now, what also comes with that, apparently, is a bunch of doo-doo.
I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire.
100%. And listening to him describe the way a baby girl just, like, shits like a human man is insane.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't entirely surprising. I don't think I've heard of this particular device, but I've heard of, like, some weird devices when it comes to babies because they can't do, you know, the things that we know how to do as adults. So I've also heard of a device that when a baby gets sick and they get congested, there's a device that you basically put on their nose that, like, sucks the all the mucus out.
Oh, I've been sniffle man for 2 days. I could actually use a similar device myself. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I think the thing that about the manufacturers of this particular fart machine product are kind of like leaving money on the table here is that I think that on the bigger end that kind of sticks out of the butt, you could actually drill a couple holes in there in strategic places and then maybe play it like a fluke.
Oh, like a recorder, which would hot I cross think buns kind of situation.
You know, I mean, right? Yeah. If you're making a baby fart, you might as well make it even more hilarious.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea for sure.
For sure, yeah. But apparently, so when you pull that thing out, just like a streamline of shit follows. I went to see him a few weeks ago when I was back in Vancouver, and you hear about parenting a lot, and I always feel like it's like an excuse for, you know, the parents to like show up late. Or whatever, you know what I mean? It kind of always comes off like that. You don't understand how little sleep we're getting, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, how much of a pain in the ass it is to actually, you know, transport a baby safely, all these things.
Right.
So we're waiting to go to family dinner at my aunt's place. And in about 15 minutes, that baby shit 3 times. And my brother had to, like 3 outfits were ruined in this span of time.
Yeah.
Which was remarkable because I was in the other room going like, what the fuck is taking so long?
You were shitting your own pants 3 times.
A little bit. You know what I mean? I'm definitely a regular pooper. I definitely, probably a little bit more action happens there than average, but but it gets it done, and right. And you know, the fact that actually she might be actually taking after Uncle Johnny, because mm-hmm. she definitely does,
yeah.
visually
she looks a lot like you.
My poor sister-in-law,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean. I'm trying to get on her good side. Right before there was when they were pregnant, of course, you remember that I spilled the beans to my grandmother.
Yeah, that was a faux pas, shall we say?
Issue that I'm pretty sure that we've recovered from.
Okay,
you know, but at the end of the day, like, I'm definitely not her favorite person, and then she looks into the eyes of her favorite person and sees me is infinitely funny, you know, to me, but also, you know, a damn shame for her. So, you know, let's just hope that, yeah. you know, that that forehead mellows out on this little girl, and, you know, she.
Oh, well, she's adorable. The kids are on the subject of. You were saying, like, parents always, you know, being late or whatever.
Sure.
You always hear about all the things that, you know, kids always, something always comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I didn't understand it until Maddie, who has been on the podcast,
oh, yeah.
had kids. And we've seen it, like, when we go to visit them at the treehouse, Those two little beanbags are running around, particularly the younger one, Lou. She is a little hellfire, that one. And it's like, you constantly have to be watching these small humans. Otherwise, they could get into some serious trouble.
I mean,
that's a full-time job.
Like, with my mother working as much as she did, and you kind of, like, it takes a village.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To raise a child. We could have had a more attentive village, probably,
right.
looking after... me and my brother, because I remember us having a babysitter and her finding us hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I was injured.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was laughing, but also trying to rectify this problem, because
right.
we were convinced that if we jumped off, like, the second story, like, balcony that was, like, our porch, that a Safeway plastic bag would be enough to parachute me to safety to the bottom.
God.
Yeah, so that didn't work.
No, that wouldn't work.
I don't think it would work for, like, any size of a human, but
yeah, I don't even think, like, an preemie, like, baby that would work for.
Yeah, but you got to imagine me as a young child was still me at about 5'8".
Right, yeah.
Jumping off this thing. And I remember us trying to explain it to her, and I remember seeing for the first time a human not being able to grasp how mm-hmm. incredibly stupid a child is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see that look in the face where they're like, okay, so, like, I can't, like, really get you in trouble for this. Clearly mm-hmm. this pain is enough. But she wasn't convinced that I was going to learn from that,
right.
you know, from that lesson, which I definitely didn't at the time. But I couldn't imagine being... Like, it's not only that you're, like, responsible for him. It's, like, mm-hmm. as soon as you have this kid, there's, like, this bond or whatever that, like, attaches you to this child
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That, yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, I remember when me and my little brother, or my two brothers were kids, we were notorious for getting into shit. And, like, there's one story that we like to tell in our family where my parents were out, and so they got my Grandpa Larry to watch us. My Grandpa Larry... was a notorious lounger. Like, he
good
liked
man.
his comfy chair, his beer, and his golf. And so his version of babysitting was kind of just doing that.
Mine own
while
old
we did our own thing.
Exact same style. Yeah. Good.
And so at the house that we were living in when we were kids, there was, like, this downstairs area, and my parents had just got Kelly for, like, his birthday or something. One of these big kind of... like, play things for kids, kind of made out of material similar to Gnocchi's little tents there.
Sure, yeah, I had a Ninja Turtles house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a house, but it's made out of, like, a fabric material or whatever, and there's tunnels, and it basically took up our whole downstairs. And Justin went through a scissor phase where he was fascinated by how scissors have the power to destroy anything that they touch.
Yeah, that's a wonderful stage of discovery for a young
boy. Yeah, and so basically my parents got home and my Grandpa Larry was, you know, sitting upstairs watching golf, and they were like, so how are the kids? And he was like, oh, I think they got up to something down there. And then he left and they went downstairs, and Kelly's entire structure, playground that took up the whole downstairs, was all cut up into neat little squares, all piled on top of each other. That thing probably costs like a couple $100.
You love to see it. I think that there's something about the destruction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a little boy that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at the world. You know, you can see that it's definitely a product of all of that violence.
Mm. Yeah. So next off, this brings us to an exciting new segment.
Sick.
Johnny's health update.
Oh my goodness. If that's what we're calling it, then that's what we're calling it, gang. We got some serious news, some serious updates about my butthole and body. Basically, if anybody was wondering if the abscess is gone away and cleared up, it has not.
I mean, it has, but it tends to, once, you know, every once in a while, rear its ugly head again, check in, be like, what's up?
I don't understand what the deal with that is. Like, I feel like I need to go to a hospital and
it's
they need
something that needs to be dealt with for sure. Yeah.
I feel like they need to cut a hole next to my butthole and put like a shop vac up there. And then
that one of those baby devices, poop device.
Well, it needs to suck whatever's in there out. So I'm not necessarily sure exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But an abscess is one thing. But while you also have your first kidney stone,
mm-hmm.
dealing with an abscess becomes almost like next level, right? So
right.
The first kidney stone is a rite of passage in my family for any man, a marker,
mm-hmm.
to say the least, that the end is nigh. Basically what has happened with that was immediate fear, because I've grown up around many men with kidney stones, and I've heard all of the horror stories. Sonic booms, that they use like sound waves to break these things up.
They've
gone inside and taken them out surgically, and like all of these things, right? So very, very scary point. Mm-hmm. But then I go to the doctor and I find out that there's basically nothing he can do for me.
Right.
You know, until and it basically just kind of has to play out like that. So that did, and I'm still kind of working through the end of it. I feel like it's on its way out, but the butthole abscess at the same time was a level of pain the other night that I've like never really experienced. Well, I definitely have before, but
the last time.
Yes, exactly. But when it's happening, it's like nothing else matters in the world. So you could be forcing a stone of calcium through your kidneys, mm-hmm. and the pain in your butthole is so much that you're not even, you know, mm-hmm. feeling the other pain, which was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
So still had a little bit of medication left over from the last run in with the law here. And, there is a sense of relief,
mm-hmm.
that I think 99% of the population of the world, I'd say 99.5,
mm-hmm.
When you wake up with boxers full of pus and blood, you're thinking, like, this is an issue. What I'm thinking is, oh, sweet release. So I definitely threw away a good pair of sacks. Mm-hmm. No, they had to go a long time ago, actually, but they had one job to do.
Yeah, you know, they went out nobly.
Definitely.
Sure.
Valiant, valiant, medal of
valiant
honor.
Last ride.
100%. so it's been absolutely wild couple weeks for me. And then, you know, the kind of the thing that bums you out a little bit about like the kidney stone is like is like a sexual drawback, you know what I mean? I don't know about, mm-hmm. like, you know, I don't want to shoot one of those stones inside your body. Like, that's
I
fucking
had
crazy.
Not thought.
So that's kind of
crazy.
Yeah, that's what's been on my mind a little bit. So kind of like near like the end of this kidney stone process, or what I feel for it to be. And then I'm taking a pee, and I notice that on the side of my dick shaft now there is an ingrown hair that is popping off the side. And it's like, oh, cool. Like, we can go back to business with this now. And it's I got to kind of deal with that. now too.
Yeah, so there's been a lot going on down there.
I'm not gonna lie to you. It's been probably for my undercarriage one of the worst months.
Worst starts to the quarter.
For sure. Oh, fiscally speaking, yeah, this quarter, this is a write off. It's all uphill from here, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I don't know, like what could come next. Like I've been thinking about this idea, like. You know, we're so fortunate enough to live, you know, where we don't deal with like the threat of impending doom, you know, as it's not as much as a reality for us as it is for other people. Right. The devil is knocking at people's doors.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the devil like isn't necessarily knocking like at my door.
Right.
But like there's, you know. He's sending some texts.
Yeah, you know he's whispering some notes under
yeah,
the door.
Yeah, he's outside
sure.
the window with a boombox over his head like John Cusack, just kind of looking at me through his bony little hands. He's giving me one of those and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, I'm kind of a little bit nervous, but also don't really know how to proceed because all these things are just like, one is not related to the other. It's just,
well,
you know,
I mean, I feel like you could definitely find a common... there's definitely like a root problem that could be addressed just in terms of like overall like health issues
sure.
that lead to all these health issues that aren't necessarily related to one another but all stemming from
what could that be
but my hope for this segment of Johnny's health update is that of course we're gonna hit some bumps along the way, but quite literally,
like on the right side of my dick shaft,
just
right
kind
now.
Of between the butt and balls.
Balls, yes.
but this, I'm hoping for kind of like a redemption arc where we go, you know, we have these fun stories of
sure.
abscesses
yep.
and kidney stones, ingrown hairs, what have you. But we're gonna go on an upward trajectory.
I've been saying this for years: is that nobody has passed redemption, but some people mm-hmm. are, but not me. You know what
of
I mean?
Course.
Like I deserve, you know what I mean, to spend some time in the sun, and comfortable. You
right.
know what I mean, without anything in between my dick and butthole.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And so as this segment progresses, I also see it as being a launch pad. For a new series that we've been talking about for a while now that we have not started, but something that you were excited about.
I was very excited about it. The idea about, okay, so we'll announce Healthcore.
Oh, we're announcing it.
We
okay.
can announce it because, like, to you can't, for me personally, the way to motivation is for me to kind of back myself into a corner
mm-hmm.
where the shame of me not you know fulfilling my word.
I mean, yeah, we're recording this at 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday when we did not want full disclosure, we didn't want to record this episode today, but we posted thrice this week talking about how there's going to be a new episode tomorrow.
Babe, I love your tenacity on this because I'm going to say right now that the podcast might not have came back this week if it wasn't for your tenacity. And I'm very excited to be here, but also very excited that you're putting me on the spot right now in front of tens of viewers.
Tens of people.
and
who we've surely already told this idea to at some point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a couple people going, I thought that was going to happen. You know, there's everybody wants to make big changes sometimes, you know what I mean? It's hard to get in the move or hard mm-hmm. to, you know, convince yourself to get over a hurdle. Now, I've been thinking about this for a long time, is that I've only ever done this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was playing, you know, with G.I. Joes and, like, oh, hey, Lone Yoki.
Aww.
I was playing, you know, with, you know, wrestling action figures and, mm-hmm. you know, fucking X-Men toys showed up to Wolverine behind my...
Mm-hmm.
my shoulder here that for so long, and then it went immediately to like drugs and alcohol and crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like there's like a the only other thing that I did was watch cartoons, and like that goes really well with drugs and alcohol
mm-hmm.
and well crime essentially too. But the idea that this road is not only going to be you know me kind of coming to terms with a few things, maybe letting go of a few vices or, you know, experiencing moderation.
Yeah.
But also just learning what to do with the day.
Yeah.
Because there's like so many hours in a day, and some people I'm finding out now don't get high for any of those hours.
Right.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, and there's like a fun way to do it, especially if, you know, we're churning out content.
For sure.
And perhaps
sure.
there could be some sort of game with our viewers, some sort of like bet as to, you know, for maybe we want to reach different milestones, and there could be side bets placed. You know, this is an interactive experience, but all with the purpose of kind of like pushing you forward by whatever means necessary, whether that be like public shame,
for sure,
whether that be feeding the machine, the content machine,
for sure, for sure.
It's
all a win-win, you know what I mean, as far as like there's no negative side to this journey, except for my reluctance to do it. So that being said, in my heart of hearts, then that you know a good idea when you see one, regardless of mm-hmm. like how afraid you might be to put forth the work that it's going to take to go into
right.
not getting high,
right,
and not getting as drunk all the time, which yes. is crazy. But mm-hmm. I think that it is a noble path. There's a few like there's like a big hike area with like a lookout or whatever that mm-hmm. we live like right next to that. They've never even brought up.
Yeah, you know, pretty easy hike. It's literally stairs.
Okay, don't scare me away. <That easy. laughs> You know, you're still very, very excited about the notion, and I'm stoked that you put it forth to me here. Mm-hmm. We communicate on this podcast better than we do, and we spend 24 hours a day together. No, we don't. But you definitely do know how to motivate me, and I've told you for years that if I'm not being called a pussy, then it's hard for me to kind of get over that hump, which at the beginning I think you were like, that's awful, and I'm sorry that happened to you. But also you can kind of see that, you know, it's a good way to motivate some people, and I might be that person. So that being said... We forge forward.
So yeah, stay tuned for Healthcore.
Fuck.
Coming at you. This was your idea.
I know, it's a good idea too.
but on to brighter things. We have some fun stories to get into today. Since we haven't been doing this for a while, I've been collecting some stories. We just have a few today, and we'll kind of go through I have a bit of a stockpile since we've taken a few sure. months off. There's been a lot of breaking news that we haven't had a chance to cover, and I know our viewers are missing that.
That's true. That's 100%.
You got to keep you informed.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's basically like we need to, like, the news desk is here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, right? The 24-hour news cycle doesn't matter anymore. One-week news cycle.
Exactly.
And we pick like a two or three.
All right. First on the docket. Mom loses $800,000 disability case after photos emerge of her winning tree throwing competition.
You fucking now, hate to see it. Like, fumble the bag, man. Like, if like the worst bag fumble in the world
yeah.
was right here. Babe, I grew up around many people that some hardworking, some people that I think that I admired with maybe like their mm-hmm. their spirit,
right.
maybe when I was younger, is the people that worked as hard as they could to not work at all. There was a long time where I would just like really hope for permanent disability.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you could just like not contribute to the machine and just,
right.
you know, suck off the tea to the government or whatever.
Of course.
It sounds like a wicked, you know, idea. And if somebody has gone through this, you know, if you've been awarded like a set for life.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's a good idea to go and fucking tree toss, then you better get your ass back to work, because you fucking just destroyed.
You don't deserve it at that point. Yeah, and
it's bullshit. There's other people out there that could be lying to the government way better.
Yeah, well, let's get into it, and let's give her a fair shake.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see if there's any details here that might sway us. Mm. So a woman in Ireland lost more than $800,000 in an injury lawsuit stemming from a car crash after photos showed her launching a Christmas tree during a post-holiday competition and winning the event. So Camilla Grabska, 36, sued an insurance agency in the county, RSA Insurance, after a 2017 car crash she claimed caused her debilitating neck and back pain that prevented her from holding down a job for 5 years, the Irish Independent reported.
My neck and my back. I want $150,000.
Grabska is a mom of two from the town of Ennis in County Clare, Irish media reports. The car accident was the result of someone hitting her car from the rear and allegedly left her unable to carry her young children or complete household chores.
You nailed it. Somebody fucking rear-ended you and you got the bag.
Newspaper reports, however, soon surfaced of Grabska competing in a Christmas tree throwing event on January 8th, 2018.
Not even 1 year after the event.
Nearly a year after the accident supposedly left her with a disabling pain. The Irish High Court reviewed a photo of Grabska launching a tree, which the judge, Carmel Stewart, described as a very graphic picture, according to the Telegraph. And I would say that is an apt description. We're going to throw it up on the screen. I mean, there is no mistaking what is happening here.
Honestly, as far as tree tossing goes,
really impressive.
She's got great form.
Like, she should be proud of her work.
100%, right? Like, it's definitely on an upward trajectory. And if it's being tossed with that much force, then I'm hoping for, like, a solid kind of sky arcing situation. Now, my thought for a tree toss would
be like a javelin throw,
more of a
javelin thing.
Trajectory rather than something going, you know,
it's
up
kind
and over.
It looks like an up and over situation,
right?
but
so I mean clearly she knows what she's doing. She's out here winning tree tosses. I would be surprised if this is her first time in the event.
Well, okay, so here's my take on this is that this woman feels so passionately about the sport of tree tossing,
sure,
that she is willing to risk $800,000. She's actively suing an insurance company for a debilitating pain in her back. But that is not going to stop her from doing what she loves, which is tossing Christmas trees in front of a crowd. She could be doing this in her backyard.
100%.
But that's not going to give her the satisfaction that she needs. She needs to compete, and she needs to win that competition.
Absolutely. When you toss trees at this high of caliber, then, you know what I mean? Definitely you can practice in the backyard. But the real game, you know what I mean, is definitely at the show here. My favorite part about this picture is that on her sweatpants,
it says, I just can't.
I just can't not throw trees. I'm the fucking greatest.
Yeah.
This woman is, you know, it sucks to see when somebody can't, you know. Okay, so now I might have been swayed here. Okay, so maybe she might be in debilitating pain. But that being said, would, you know what I mean? Does that keep Tiger Woods away from the Masters?
Well, so right? Here's the
Michael Jordan played a fucking playoff game through the flu, and it's one of the most amazing, you know, basketball performances of all time.
Yeah, I mean, the flu is a little bit different than a debilitating car crash causing disabling back pain.
Absolutely, but it is
but
a
yes,
disabling.
I understand. What you're saying,
yeah,
but
to draw
so to
here.
Continue my point, like her. It's because she's clearly so passionate about the sport of tree throwing.
Sure.
There is a possibility that she does have debilitating back pain, but that is how much this competition means to
her. Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Right? I think that you almost got to give her $800,000 for her tenacity and spirit, because it's not a huge crowd, and I think that that's what makes it a little bit better. You know what I mean? Especially as performers ourselves, we know what it's like to strive for greatness, and maybe, you know, you're expecting the set of your life, and then you show up and there's maybe only four people in the
crowd. I mean, you got to put on a full performance regardless of how many people are there to watch. But, like, okay, so I'm looking at this picture. We kind of have a different angle now. And so she won this competition, but this tree doesn't look like it's going that far at all. This look kind of looks like it's straight up and down. Like, the way the tree is positioned just vertically in the air, but that's not really going to propel forward all that much.
It's a great point that you bring up. My thoughts exactly. I have a hard time believing that this is sanctioned by the official tree tossing commission. And also, I wonder if there's divisional brackets, say like a men's division, a women's division, or something like this, because there's no way that this is taking place in Ireland right next door is a country that is famous for tree tossing and like and massive lumber, you know, you've seen Scottish tree tossing.
Yeah, I mean this is Ireland, but they're
throwing fucking tree tosses next door or whatever. So they're looking kind of bitch.
Yes.
Comparatively speaking, in tree tossing, since you know your neighbor is known for doing it at such a higher level.
Yes.
That being said, you know what I mean. The win is on paper. There's no asterisk. So regardless of how that tree looks,
see her very clearly holding up her. Price.
Quality plaque.
It looks like a it looks like it's been there's some clip art involved.
Thumbtacked to a piece of wood.
It looks like this was printed out on a standard, you know, standard printer paper. There's some clip art and a nice cursive font. Irish International Christmas Tree Throwing Championship. Ladies winner.
Ladies winner. Okay.
Ladies winner. There's the smoking gun. Overall ladies winner. Okay, so she won of all the. So how many women was she competing against?
And also this toss that's being pictured here, if she's the overall ladies winner, I'm sure this took more than one toss throughout
the
day.
Of course. This might just been a bad toss. 100%. This could have been purely for the photo of it.
100%. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So we won't judge based on what the evidence we have. But I tell you, who will judge based on the evidence presented? The judge.
Yeah, 100%.
It is a very large natural Christmas tree, and it is being thrown by her in a very agile movement. I'm afraid I cannot but conclude the claims were entirely exaggerated. On that basis, I propose to dismiss the claim, the judge said. Grabska denied that she faked her injuries while in court, saying she was, quote, trying to live a normal life.
You know, and I totally agree with her. I don't think I could get through, you know what I mean, at least 1 year without tossing some serious Christmas tree. Do you remember?
You gotta do it.
The Much Music, at the end of the year, they would do like the annual Christmas tree toss.
No.
So for American viewers or anybody that's not in Canada, Much Music is basically our MTV. Mm-hmm. And when we were kids, they would have this end of the year wrap up. Do you remember Ed the Sock?
Of course.
Ed the Sock was fantastic, kind of roasting all the bad videos that came out that year. So you'd have Ed the Sock's Fromage. You'd have like a bunch of kind of like year end kind of like wrap up shows, all of them kind of leading to this one kind of like countdown event. Like they'll do like kind of end of the year countdown. I live performances, bullshit like that. But during one part of this event, there's the Christmas tree toss, and it got more and more elaborate every year as it went. So they started throwing it off buildings and shit like that, and it was
cool.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. So like, I mean, Christmas tree tossing is in all of our blood.
It's a tale as old as time.
It really is. And to take $800,000 out of this woman's pocket,
I mean,
you know, just for
rat.
Trying to compete at the highest level, I've been swayed, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely fumbled the bag for sure, but also
she
should have a better defense team that could get her out of this.
Totally. I mean, 100% on her side, but the execution was a little bit sloppy.
100%.
You know, you knew the press was going to be at this highly beloved event.
You don't go to the Irish International Christmas Tree Toss and
Women's
not
division.
Expect to see, you know, multiple news outlets, I'm sure, you know, covering all kinds of topics, a variety. You know what I mean? There's so many players that have had such storied journeys, especially this year in Christmas tree tossing.
Oh,
I mean, she's
this has
not
been a huge year, especially in the ladies competition. I mean, this
you know,
is
the field is so deep,
huge names,
right? The level of competition is huge now, and the women's they're so much more exciting to watch because I feel like they're evolving so much faster.
Truly,
and,
I mean, there's some real natural talent there.
There truly
you have
is.
Susanna Spruce.
Well, I mean, goodness.
You have Penelope Pine.
Well, of course, right?
You have Debbie Douglas for
100%, 100%. Purcella Ponderosa. She's been out there tossing for a long time. You know, kind of in the twilight of her career, but it's exciting to kind of see how she can still hold on and carry that torch before she passes it to the next generation.
Yeah, and the arc, you know, what I really love about this competition is, for me, I'm not a distance gal. I kind of like the flair of the throw. I'm looking for a nice bend, a nice arc.
Yeah,
you know?
You're all razzle dazzle.
I'm all about, you know, where is the apex?
100%.
Where does 100%. It peak? Mm-hmm. And then how, you know, the crescendo. I don't like just a, you know, straight up and down. We want a long crescendo.
Well, I think that I would definitely kind of agree with you, and that's why I think it's so difficult to take home this first place event at this thing, because the
judges are
all looking for different, you know, things. But I think that in my personal style, that's where my basketball career in high school kind of comes into play, because mm-hmm. if you want nothing but net, that perfect mm-hmm. arcing basketball shot kind of goes at a trajectory. And as soon as it hits the apex, it doesn't, the apex isn't the middle of the toss. The apex right. is kind of the end, and then it drops down into the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I like to try to do that, because if you can catch a nice little bit of wind, sometimes a tree can stand straight up, which of course is 100 points.
Of course. You know. Everyone knows that. That's double points immediately.
Of course.
And everyone knows that, like, Christmas trees and basketballs are exactly the same, just physics-wise.
Physics-wise, you know, yeah. all of the things. Basically, if you can toss a basketball, you can throw a Christmas tree, mm-hmm. and stop thinking that you can't. You know,
yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's what the story is probably referring to.
So follow your dreams. 100%. Doesn't matter if you're in a heated court battle over close to $1 million. Just, you know, answer the calls of the wind of your soul.
If you're going to let $800,000 stand in the way of your greatest Christmas tree tossing performance, then you don't deserve to be in the league or even in the conversation. You know, some of the
you're
greatest
tossers. You're not
serious
about the game.
You know, and
so shout out to, what's her name?
Susan Spruce.
Camilla Grabska.
Camilla Grabska.
Shout out to Camilla, of course.
Definitely.
And I wish you the best in this upcoming season.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to take the summer months off.
Yeah,
of
and
course.
Definitely. And now she doesn't have that $800,000 cushion, so you know she's going to be hungry. She's going to be out in the
trenches.
She you know.
Needs this more than ever.
Yeah.
And that's the dangerous player.
For sure.
You know, the player
for
that
sure.
needs this.
Well, absolutely. Because yeah. contrary to popular belief, Christmas tree toss actually doesn't make a lot of money. You would think that you'd be up there with your
I mean,
Messies
you think you
and
see
your
someone
LeBron Jameses
on
and
the,
stuff
the
like
front
that.
Of the Irish Independent newspaper, you're like, this person has no financial
just
problems.
Luxury cars
yeah.
and private planes and dripping in bitches, but that's just not the case.
You'd be surprised.
You really would.
So donate to your local Christmas toss tree championships.
Absolutely
yeah.
and get involved, just even on a mm-hmm. volunteer level base.
Yeah.
You know, it's a grassroots movement that's now gaining support, so
it is literally it starts as a seed
the
ground.
It truly does, right?
Yeah.
Now the seed is planted, and I feel like you know, through Camilla, we actually have, you know, a great ambassador for the game.
Yeah. So, Camilla, hats off to you. Moving right along, we have another very exciting story. This is more local.
Oh.
All right. This is pertinent to us. Wild turkeys are moving into Montreal.
No.
Here's how to live with them.
So,
I thought you might have some thoughts on this one. So some milder winters, as you know, we've experienced. First winter in Montreal hasn't been too bad at all.
Yeah, everybody was really scaring us. They put the fear of God into us.
I mean,
honestly, when I
lived here in university, it was fucking cold for about 8 months of the year.
You prepared me for it. Everybody else kind of prepared me for it. And honestly, just shout out to greenhouse gases. Shout out to BP oil. Shout out to methane gas from all the cows farting. You know, honestly,
I think this year is also a La Nina year, so it is a naturally warmer winter anyway.
True, but
so
I've
that's
also
kind
heard
of
that it's setting records
it's both things going on. But so an unexpected effect, milder winters have helped spur a wild turkey population boom across southern Quebec. So a PhD student at McGill University takes photos of birds as a hobby. And
cool
that
kid.
Usually means those that sing rather than gobble. But he recently trained his lens on a couple of wild turkeys while snapping pictures in Montreal's Techno Park, located in the borough of Saint Laurent.
How close is that to us?
I'm not even sure.
Okay.
Techno Park sounds... This is not a bird he would see back in his home country of India, and it's certainly not one he had seen in the wild before. That excites me, he said.
As the bird slowly removed a bra.
Yeah, recounting his experience on February 25th. This is a new bird. This is a new species. It's the first time. So this man thinks he just discovered turkeys.
That's awesome. That rules. I'm happy that he's so excited about it. I'm reading this book. I'm reading this book about
this is a new bird.
About my family. When my great grandmother and grandfather came to Canada from Italy, they landed in New York, stayed there for like a couple nights before taking the train to Western fucking Canada, idiots. Mm-hmm. But what happened, it was Thanksgiving when they landed. So my Italian great-grandmother talks about her experience of just being in New York and having like a American Thanksgiving with like mm-hmm. gravy and turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. She said she fucking hated it. This is the shittiest meal of all time.
What is like, I guess Italy doesn't have Thanksgiving.
No, just good food and yeah. and Catholic holidays and stuff like that.
It is a weird North American tradition because like I feel like
it's a
turkey,
celebration of genocide?
No. I mean, the Thanksgiving dinner. Because turkey, I've been out of the meat game for almost half my life now, which
sure.
is crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything, but I'm just going off hearsay. Turkey is one of the lesser meats, not one that people often cite as a favorite. Right?
Babe, no, you could go ahead and say, like, there's no turkeys listening. Turkey fucking sucks. Dick, unless you know how to make it. Like, I've had... Mm-hmm. So many bad turkeys. That's a weird thing about like the holiday times. It's like I don't understand like why Big Turkey has had this monopoly.
It's
on,
insane.
Like, you know, so many holidays so close together with Thanksgiving and Christmas. So you're gonna have two turkey dinners, and I'm from a divorced family, so there's mm-hmm. potential that I could have four turkey dinners in 2 months. It's get the fuck away from me with this shit. And
yeah.
The thing about it is that like my mother's family, God bless them, they just like overcooked the shit out of like a lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's wife, God bless her, always gets a little creative with mm-hmm. You know, with the recipes and stuff like that. Drives my brother fucking insane.
Right.
Because we're sitting there and you're like, why are you like rubbing maple syrup on this fucking turkey skin right now? You know
right.
what I mean?
Like, if you're doing, because the whole point of those holiday meals is it's the nostalgia, right? It's nostalgia for everyone. Everyone had these meals growing up. And so you just kind of, I would assume, just want it done the way it's done.
Well, on my mom's side of the family, absolutely. On my dad's side of the family, I think they get a little bit bored of mm-hmm. of routine. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
to break up that monotony, some dishes that have come from there, like some roasted carrots with balsamic and shit like that.
Oh, sides.
Fantastic.
You got to spruce up the
I'm
sides.
A fucking sides guy.
I mean,
but
yeah.
if you're going to serve cornbread stuffing in lieu of traditional stuffing, then shove all of that up your ass and
yeah,
go get some stovetop. It's I shouldn't say that because it is actually good, but what you do is you walk away from, you know, this classic nostalgic meal feeling shortchanged mm-hmm. when somebody just...
Because you didn't get what you're...
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
When somebody that loves you went through great lengths to
right.
look up a lot of new recipes to try
That's
to see. You know what I mean?
Hard
it's
thing.
Crazy that like they work so hard on something new. And me and my brother smoking a joint behind that was being like, that fucking sucked.
That's always the hard thing with like holiday meals like that, because obviously by nature they take sometimes days to prepare.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they're not good.
And
someone has been slaving over the oven for days on end in the middle of the holidays.
And I
just
mean, like,
to like trying to serve up something exciting.
And God bless it too, because like there's so many things that like what comes with that also comes like the expectation that we're putting this on, you know, for friends and family and stuff. So you mm-hmm. come over and enjoy. And I think some people have different customs and stuff like that when you go to these things. So here's a tip to anybody that gets invited to Thanksgiving at my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring a fucking lasagna
oh gosh
over
okay.
when like
that
this
is,
whole
that is crazy
this whole meal has been prepared 4 days mm-hmm. you know what I mean, leading up to it, in a very adventurous kind of a different kind of Thanksgiving mm-hmm. as well. And if you're not Italian, too, and
yeah,
you show up with freaking lasagna in your hand, I've never seen somebody more offended in my
yeah,
fucking life.
I would say, like, when we would always go to dinner, Christmas Day dinner at my aunt's, I would always make cabbage rolls to bring nice. Because that would be like my main or whatever.
Are you
and
making
it was
like
more
a vegetarian?
Yeah. It's like basically just like rice and veggies on the inside
sure.
wrapped
like
in a cabbage leaf.
Or
yeah, basically.
Cool. Nice.
And like tomato sauce. It's yeah. really good. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, smothered in tomato sauce and cooks like in like a pool of tomato sauce.
Rolls. That sounds good.
But obviously I do that always like it was established ahead of time that I'll be doing that, and it's for the purpose so
you have something to eat.
So like my aunt who's making all this other food doesn't have to make a whole other main for me to eat or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're don't have any dietary restrictions, to just bring a whole other main course to a dinner that you're being invited to is wild.
It's like, ballsy to the level that it seems like it's always weird to me because like it comes, there's two ways to look at it, right? Because it might come from a place of like of somebody with just like a kind heart and is thinking, mm-hmm. hey, you know, let's take a little bit of weight off of that. Then call ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Make sure that it's cool to do. Bring a fucking bottle of wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. Or a side. Like, I feel like bring a side or bring a dessert.
Fuck yeah.
Like,
you show up with a watermelon, a little feta salad or something like that.
Yeah.
Summertime, fantastic. But it's like, if you show up with a whole rack of ribs, like, you're
that's
kind of,
fucking
you're
insane.
Shitting on somebody's, you know, on their
fucking chicken pot pie just to serve 15 people.
It's insane. So, like, so in my heart of hearts, I want it to be like, oh, this person is just too nice. You know, they can't not.
It's
but
definitely
it
a statement. It's
like
saying, like, I don't want to eat your food.
Yeah, somebody's like, I don't trust you enough to hold this down, so I'm going to bring what I know to be a good lasagna. And,
it's definitely
and bring
it has
Thanksgiving dinner and try not to get chopped in the neck because like I
it
thought,
has so it's kind of
I thought violence was gonna break
because it has that element of like I'm gonna eat this because I don't like your food, and it's also almost like wanting to steal the shine of being like,
mm-hmm.
hey, eat this lasagna and see if you like it better than what
our
host
you
is
imagine
prepared.
Preparing a huge spread, multiple sides, mains, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. And then having somebody look up from their plate and go, man, this lasagna is good.
Yeah.
You gotta have some fucking balls.
And it's great because, like, at your dad's house, like, they always go, like, above and beyond to make
so much food.
I've never not, like, been full leaving there,
totally,
you know?
Totally. And that's, like, that's the
thing,
you know what I mean? Especially, like, in an Italian household, like, it's like the main thing, obviously, is that, you know, everybody gets together. It's all, you know, like family first. Everybody gets full, you know, but you can't overstep the boundaries of your host.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just like that's huge. I've not been invited back to a family member's of mine because I went to fix their dishwasher and they offered me beers and I just ended up having like three more than they thought was like appropriate. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I haven't been invited back to that family member's home. You know what I mean? Until their fucking dishwasher breaks again, you fucking assholes. But, but at the end of the day, like, there's weird, social cues that you have to kind of anticipate.
What is, okay, so sound off in the comments.
If you pay me to fix your dishwasher, how many of your beers is it appropriate?
No.
Okay.
If you're at someone's house and they offer you a beer, how many is appropriate to have before you're like, hey, why don't I go and grab, another case of beers if we're gonna keep hanging out, or before you just like cut it off? What? Because I would say
I'm gonna go ahead and say I probably overstepped the bounds.
There's no question. Never not.
I might have took three to go, and I think that was the issue.
Okay, so it wasn't just you consumed exactly three more than what they thought. It was that you took it to go.
I went to fucking from East Van to UBC to fix a dishwasher for free. Give me the fucking beers, like, you know. I mean, pretty nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, like that. In that case, if you're doing it for free, then definitely you should have just been given beers.
I might have been paid. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. I mean, I'm going to take the L on this one. That was probably on me.
Yeah.
And they were like second cousins as well, too. So my grandfather's sister's kid, if that makes sense. I was fixing her shit. But we're close enough. Well, not that close, apparently.
Yeah, you're not close enough to enjoy three beers on the bus ride home.
Oh, my God.
Okay, back to the turkeys. I will say, actually, so just a quick bullet point to the turkey conversation.
Sure.
Okay, bringing it back to that. We, you were saying you like your turkeys cooked traditionally. And I remember that they were...
A deep fried turkey is the best turkey that I've ever had, hands down. But if it is going to be cooked traditionally, like a spat, like there's a better way to do it, because I don't think that the traditional way of cooking is the best.
Okay,
method.
So that's where I was going, is that I remember distinctly as a kid, the moment my dad discovered spatchcocking.
Brilliant.
And that it changed... It changed everything.
Yep.
To, like, everything was spatchcock, like, to the point where, like, there was just always, because he was so excited about spatchcocking.
Yeah.
So there was just, like, always, like, birds being spatchcocked in the house for holidays and non-holidays alike.
Yep.
But I can't remember if I was still eating meat at that time, because I don't remember ever tasting it or noticing a difference or whatever, but I assume that that's kind of a better way. Obviously, it's much quicker, but all you're also kind of,
well, quick is good. And I think in this situation, like, if you look at, like, if you're gonna cook anything, you know what I mean, it's gonna be more even if it's all in one concise piece, rather than having a massive air hole in the middle where your breasts are on top, kind of taking, like, all the heat from the top of the oven. And they're the quickest to cook. So now you've overcooked your breasts while your like dark meat, which kind of needs to come up to a higher temperature anyway, isn't really doing it. So if you could flatten everything out, it fucking cuts the time down in half and gives you, like, a little bit of option to, like, kind of crank the oven up a little bit and kind of caramelize the bottom of it and shit like that. Right. Like, it kind of gives you, like a few options that you don't normally, like, get to do. And also, if you're not, like, a great cook, all you have to do is take a pair of, like, kitchen scissors, shears, and cut the spine out of this thing and flatten it out. Like, it's the easiest fucking thing to do. You seasoning, you're now able to season both sides, because you're not just, like, throwing shit into a cavity and kind of hoping that it all sticks and stuff. It's the best way to do it.
Right.
I think. Yeah, but my family are a bunch of pussies, and in 33 years, they've never fucking spatchcocked a turkey when we talk about doing it to chickens all the time.
I also remember, crazy. Like, the moment it was, like, at some holiday dinner as a kid, and my dad was, like, carving the turkey or whatever, and my step-grandma, Bobby, was like, oh, like, can I have, like, the drumstick or whatever? Like, I love the drumstick. And we had been having family holiday dinners for like probably 20 years at that point, and he didn't know that whole time that, like, she loved the drumstick or whatever. And so for all of these years, in that moment, it just, like, hit him all at once that, like, she's just been like watching him carve the turkey.
That's awful. I mean, if you love a drumstick, especially a turkey leg, there's something badly, there's something testosterone is, like, you know, driven into, like, a Flintstone kind of size, you know, like a massive turkey leg. My great-grandmother used to, my nono thought the turkeys had three legs for the longest time, because he was, like, younger of the group or whatever, but when she would reluctantly make these, you know, when she moved to Canada and all that stuff, kind of, you know, blah, blah, blah. By the 40s, she's cooking Thanksgiving dinners, and, would always buy an extra turkey leg to cook it for my dodo, because he was a special little guy.
All right. Well, these wild turkeys are becoming increasingly common in the city of Montreal. Quote, we're being called more and more on scene to intervene, said William Lapontagne, a public safety officer in the on island suburb of Westmount. Westmount has been letting residents know here are easier. There are ways to coexist with turkeys. So this has caused a state of public panic. Quote, do not approach and do not feed, the city says on its Facebook page, encouraging residents to visit its website for more tips on living peacefully with these animals, generally pose no threat.
You know what? I'm tired of this bullshit.
Turkeys aren't a violent bird at all.
I'm fucking tired of this. You know what? And I'm all for progress. I'm all for peace. I'm all for everybody getting along. But when it comes to me having to share this space with a vicious predator that is prehistoric age, I'm just saying that, you know, if I have to be in contact with this turkey and it has to make that move at me, it's life or death.
I mean, I don't think turkeys are coming at these people. I think people just have never seen a turkey in their life, and they're like, how do we coexist with these?
I mean, I'm not for, you know, like war or genocide either. So, like, I guess there's, you know, there might be a way, you know, to do this. But the fact that massive birds are moving into our neighborhood is not something that I'm very stoked about.
We haven't seen one yet.
So it's no surprise that turkeys are moving into Montreal, according to a volunteer biologist and researcher at the Canadian Wild Turkey Federation, a conservation organization. Wild turkeys have been moving into urban areas throughout the northeastern United States for years, and it's not unusual to see the omnivorous birds scratching around bird feeders or roadsides in search of food or the bits of gravel that help them digest. The director of McGill Bird Observatory said wild turkeys almost went extinct in the 1900s. They were reintroduced in the 80s, and their population has not stopped growing since.
Quick sidebar, I remember this from when I was hunting grouse. When I was a kid, that when you take their innards out, you could feel their stomachs, and they're filled with rocks. And I haven't thought about this in years, but yeah, that's like, so it helps them digest in the sense that their stomach, they swallow a bunch of rocks, and it essentially like turns it into like a grinder or whatever, and it processes all this like grass and shit or whatever that they eat.
That's cool that they know how to do that.
Yeah, fascinating.
They've been increasing in urban areas because there's a lot more food here and it's a bit of a safe place from predators. We have milder and milder winters. We have less and less die-off naturally occurring. Okay, this photo, I think, is the reason why I wanted to do this story. I'll put the
See, everybody's saying that everybody's in peace, but what you have here is a silver fox, okay? This middle-aged man that
running
just,
for his life
from
this turkey who is clearly in an aggressive position.
And no, because like you can't say that this man is a coward, because obviously you're right, this aggressive position from this turkey.
Yeah, he's fucking...
Judging from just by his silhouette and the way, like this guy fucks.
For sure.
You know, he's holding it down.
He's a sprightly man for his age.
Oh, he's
got
some get up and go in him. Yeah, for sure. He's getting the fuck away from this turkey. I wish I was there so I could save him, or I maybe stand in the way and you know help help an old man that is clearly still pounding puss.
So turkeys are opportunistic when it comes to their diet, eating everything from bugs and invertebrates to birdseed and compost. They can get into Montreal by following train tracks or walking across the ice in the winter.
They follow the same routes of hobos?
Settling in Westmount makes sense, as there are large parks and backyards. Despite their increasing numbers in urban regions of Quebec, the Ministry of Wildlife says in a statement that it is not concerned, as their presence does not pose significant issues.
Yet.
Followed by this photo, which is really... I mean, that... You need this photo journalist deserves an award, because this is really like a moment caught in history.
Well, for sure.
A picture tells a thousand, says a thousand words.
I'm honestly glad it's not me there, because like I would be running in such a more frantic fashion.
Turkey populations have been expanding, and hunting is one way. Okay, so this is... turkey hunting is popular. They're talking about all the areas in Montreal where you can hunt turkeys. Leave turkeys alone. Don't feed them. Splawinski suggests covering gardens with cloth rather than netting in the cold season, because turkeys will dig up roots and bulbs. He said people can clean up fallen acorns, remove bird feeders, and secure compost bins.
You can invite me to town. I'll feed them knuckle sandwiches.
You can also scare turkeys by throwing... You can also... Splawinski said people can also scare turkeys by throwing a tennis ball, opening a large umbrella, placing predator decoys, or even chasing them with leashed dogs. So this man is suggesting absolute chaos.
I love that there's like guys walking around with like, you know, like the tennis ball, like the three tube or whatever.
Yeah,
with, like, strapped across his chest like a fucking bullet belt or something.
They have just a leash. There's like the dog must be on a leash, to be clear, but you can't. So they're saying chase him with a leash dog. So this dog is pulling you.
You
like,
get a pit bull and you name it Princess, and you fucking
steady clip with that dog.
Yeah. Fuck that. You this is war, and this is obviously Big Turkey has like this guy's in Big Turkey's pocket or something, because like this sounds like a turkey wrote it. I'm fucking not about this.
Turkeys are afraid of humans, but males can become aggressive during the spring mating season, which is upon us. In that case, people should assert themselves and make noise, the ministry says. Essentially, the goal should be for aggressive turkeys to not see you as lower on the pecking order.
Yeah, I'm not leaving my house without a 9-iron, at least, I think. I might, like, this is ridiculous.
But the best thing to do when seeing a wild turkey in Montreal, or anywhere else for that matter, is to give it space and leave it alone after they just suggested just absolute pandemonium. They're like, well, you could hurl tennis balls at it, open a large umbrella, place a predator decoy, like, you're just going to whip that out of your back pocket.
But you don't want to do
or
that.
Or chase it with a leashed dog.
This was written by a turkey with glasses and a fake mustache.
This was written by three turkeys stacked up in a trench coat.
Yeah, fuck this. I am so... No, I'm not about this. Turkeys, if any of you guys are listening, you see me in Montreal, you better fucking get the hell away from me.
Yeah, so that's a fun story. Okay, last that was one good. Here.
We still got a last one. Okay, because we can save it for next week. Or
No, I think you'll like this one.
Okay.
The Philadelphia Phillies are scrapping $1 hot dog nights following unruly fan behavior.
Oh, in Philadelphia? Unruly fan behavior?
For more than a quarter century, Phillies fans consider dollar hot dog night among the best ballpark promotions, but the team has now decided it was the worst with a U.
Yeah, yeah.
Those dog days of April when Philly weather is cold and the wieners are a steal are going, gone. The Phillies officially ended the popular promotion Thursday and replaced dollar dogs on select dates with a 2-for-1 deal at 2 April games at Citizens Bank Park. A statement from the team said the change was made based on the organization's ongoing commitment to provide a positive experience for all fans in attendance. This seems like the opposite. What wasn't positive about dollar dog nights?
I think that this is interesting because if you're going to cancel dollar dog nights, that's one thing. But basically, I'm sure this is going to get to the point where one guy fucked this up for the entire city of Philadelphia.
So that's, I think
where
that's
generations
where we're going.
Of people have been like, this is like a tradition or whatever, is to go to the game on dollar dog night.
Yeah.
There is the Chicago Cubs had a pop fly is being hit. Game clenching, one of the most important games of the Chicago Cubs during like a 100-year drought that they'd had.
Mm-hmm.
A fan reaches over and catches the ball while a player is going up to grab it. It's like there's documentaries made about it. This guy had to get like escorted out of the thing. He's wearing glasses and fucking headphones or whatever.
Yeah.
This is classic. Everybody hates that guy. Actually, in The Bear season 2, there's a great moment where throughout the season, the guy that's putting up the money for the restaurant is like, let me tell you a story about like failure. And he's like, not right now. And so the very last episode, he's like, yeah, I've been waiting to hear it. Let's hear the thing. And he talks about that thing where everybody talks about that guy with the glasses, but really what lost him the game was one guy's error that he made before, you know, had this one guy not have missed this ball or whatever. It's baseball is fascinating for that, and people are hyper analytic about it. And the fact of the matter is that I'm sure there's just a guy named Jeff in Philly that fucking pissed off.
Well, it sounds so. Armed with projectile Frankfurters, some unruly Phillies fans began chucking their favorite Hatfield meat during a game last year, and the dogs soared like cans of corn.
Like cans of corn?
Is that an expression?
Babe, that is not an expression that anybody's ever used. Sword like cans of corn.
I never associated a can of corn with soaring.
Is this written by like a... This
in
is
Philly, is this a thing in Philly? People just throw cans of corn and it's accepted, but a hot dog is where
you
draw
the head with a can
line?
Of corn? That would fucking hurt so bad.
Compared
I'd rather
to
take
a fucking
a hot
dog.
I'd take 10 hot dogs.
I would take a hot dog to the face. Easy.
Nice.
Before fucking can of corn.
Oh, fuck.
Dogs soared like cans of corn throughout the stands and onto the field. The demand for the discount dogs also led to clogged lanes, if not arteries. Again, we have a case of excellent journalism here.
For sure.
On the concourse, and the cramped spaces led to security and safety concerns. Who needs snowballs? An April 11th game last season turned into a Philly food fight when fans, largely good-naturedly, tossed their ballpark franks in several sections, leading to multiple ejections. Quote, it wasn't just the throwing, said John Weber, senior vice president, Philly's ticket operations and projects.
Dick.
It's the concourse, the crowds of everybody being at the same X amount of stands. But obviously, you know, the throwing was a little bit of a tipping point. To be frank, the Phillies don't necessarily need to slash prices these days to pack in crowds. The Phillies started the promotion 27 years ago when they still played at cavernous Veterans Stadium to try and boost ticket sales on an otherwise dreary game night. But the Phillies doggedly stuck
fought like a dog.
Yeah, stuck with the food frenzy deal through the decades, even as they rose again to become one of the best teams in the National League. The Phillies topped 3 million fans last season and scheduled $3 dog nights for 2 April and 1 May weeknight game when attendance is generally down. So this is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, the whole thing is fucking ridiculous. The idea, though,
you're replacing dollar dog nights. This is once a week this is happening in April, throughout April?
Throughout April, it sounds like, yeah.
You're replacing dollar dog nights throughout April with a couple of $3 dog nights, so three times the price, for two April games and one May game?
I think they're setting themselves up for a serious disaster here in the sense, like, if you're going to take dollar dogs away from us and think that we're not going to throw $3 dogs.
I was
going to
say, if you thought people were throwing dogs before, they're going to invest in
this.
We
are the fans of Philadelphia. Yeah. We throw shit at Santa Claus. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, we will fuck this place up. I honestly think that this is not the end of this story.
Yeah, the company said ahead of the 2022 World Series when the Phillies played the Houston Astros that one of every three fans eats a hot dog at Citizens Bank Park. And
imagine the plumbing. Like, just imagine how much shits are moving out.
An average of 6,951 hot dogs were sold per game. Why would you want to throw that away?
Because they're going to sell the same amount of hot dogs at $3. $1 to $3. It's like, honestly, like, there's like a marketing guy that's there like, guys, like, we just hit the fucking jackpot here. Mm-hmm. Like, poor is poor. But like, in the sense of like, you're at a game or whatever, $1 to $3. Yeah, people are going to talk a lot of shit about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is going to discourage anybody from throwing the hot dogs.
No, so they've tried to do this before. The Phillies first caught blowback in 2022 when they tried to scale back from $3 dog nights to $2. The unpopular move failed to cut the mustard with fans, even in the highest branches of state government. Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey responded to a writer for the Crossing Broad website who complained about the decision with a post on social media that read, "I agree. More dollar dog nights at Phillies. Let's do this."
Fuck yeah.
Casey was a hot dog hero when one more dog night was added to the schedule. He took a high road on Thursday, posting on social media, "Double hot dog emoji sounds like a great way to fuel up for hashtag Red October." Oh, so he fucking flip-flopped. Phillies fans still grilled the decision on social media. By mid-afternoon, one apparel shop already had a t-shirt made, lamenting the decision with the inscription, "R.I.P. Dollar Dog Night, Pork Flu Heads Roll." "Our goal is to always to give a great fan experience," Weber said. "If you were there at the game, it was not a great experience for you, maybe." Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun, if I'm going to be honest. Like,
I'm in the middle of a hot dog food fight. I'm definitely looking to catch and throw back, but on the off chance you just catch like a full dog in bun, I'm housing that. Like, I'm taking that to the house for sure.
So if cheap meats are still your thing at the old ball game, head across the state to Pittsburgh, where the Pirates will host at least $6 hot dog nights. Just
go
a long
yeah. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. And so there's Texas Rangers sell dollar dogs every Wednesday home game. Okay. So there's hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. The fucking Vancouver Canadians do like the hot dog. I mean, like, this is it's a huge thing to do. What you're dealing with here is the city of Philadelphia. Yeah. That's the only problem.
Hopefully our fans will still come out and view two hot dogs for $5 as a value and support the team in those two April dates that we have. Doubt it. I want everyone to boycott those two.
Yeah, fuck that. Like, 2 for $5 is solid, but not after they've taken away $1 dogs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're just like, yeah, no, don't piss on my fucking leg and tell me it's raining, buddy. That's bullshit.
Yeah, so this is an injustice to the people. For sure. Just for what? A couple hot dog fights in the stands?
I'm glad you actually brought this up because people are just getting softer now and like, fun just isn't. It's the way that you handle something like this and you move forward from it, right? You can't look at, you know, something as silly as thousands of people throwing hot dogs at each other as
you know, like as a negative. You have to look at that and capitalize on it as a positive, because you're going to clean the stadium anyway. What, so you had to scrub a fucking couple extra ketchup off the fucking seats? Like, get the fuck out of here.
So they're not, this is definitely not about the fucking hot dog fights, because they're still fucking selling hot dogs.
Yeah, no,
they're just trying
dogs.
To, they just want to make more money from these dogs, and they're reframing it as like, oh, but we're still doing
they
two hot
do
dogs for
way.
$5.
They were going to do it either
and
way.
And they're like, we need a way to make this sound palatable, like we're doing the right thing, but you're selling twice as many hot dogs in this deal that you've created, 100%. But you're paying way more money to $5 for two hot dogs. That's $2.50 a dog.
You're
so
making $3 extra per two dogs. Over $9,000. Over
and
9,
they have to buy
dogs
two
sold.
Dogs in that scenario. So to get that deal, you have to spend $5.
Yes.
Whereas if you're buying a dollar hot dog, so you're spending five times as much money.
Mm-hmm.
So and this is what's wrong
dogs
with
are sold there. Then they will make $27,000 extra.
And there, so they said in these nights they sold almost 7,000 hot dogs. So they're gonna now be trying to sell fucking 14,000 and make five times as much money. But they're framing this in a way like we're just trying to keep it safe. 100%. But you're supplying people with twice as many hot dogs.
Exactly,
you just
want
more money.
100%. You're blowing it. It's such a, you know, it's a clear sign of capitalism gone wrong. And honestly, when you blame your fan base for you trying to be a greedy piece of shit, that's when you can go fuck yourself. The Philly Fanatic, we love the Philly Fanatic. He's the greatest mascot in professional sports, maybe. I mean, maybe other than fucking... Philly's got some great mascots because they're the Flyers. What's Grudy?
Guy. They have a few like fuzzy creatures are really and kind of like they don't.
You know,
like,
Philly's about fun, right? Great mascots. You're gonna get a dog thrown at you. There's gonna be a riot.
You catch a dog to the face. That's part of the game.
If you don't love
take me out
baseball,
to the ball game.
Yeah, if it hit me with a 12-inch Frank to the face. That's part of the lyrics of the fucking song. Everybody remembers this. You know what I mean? Thank you for bringing this up. I think this.
Listeners in Philly, definitely start this movement to boycott these three games.
We'll
where
do what we can
these,
out
yeah.
here, but this is gonna take a real movement local too, right? There's not much we can do for Montreal, but
we can doggone try.
We can hot doggone try. You bet your biscuits. We can,
So yeah, that about does it. Quick. Album recommendation at the end of the from Rizzo and Kanicki. We wanted to do a fun album to you know kind of come back into your guys's life so we can come back into you.
Exactly.
We want to come back into you.
We want to come
in
back
the funnest way, in a fun and energetic,
in
fashion.
A fun consensual way where everybody's having fun being cummed in.
Yeah, and so what better way to do that than with the Grease soundtrack?
Sure.
Go Greased Lightning.
Greased Lightning burning up a quarter mile.
In my opinion, probably the best musical soundtrack. I mean, it's so much fun.
I think made like for a movie, because like I give it up to obviously a Reservoir Dogs or a Pulp Fiction.
Musical soundtrack.
Soundtrack to a musical. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
My favorite track. Because I don't really remember the movie, but this is actually cool that you picked this one, because when we moved here to this apartment, the first and only noise complaint that we ever got was while watching Grease at 3 in the morning, and you're singing along to every song, and it was one of the most fun movie watching experiences that I've ever had. Because I think if I would have seen Grease when I was a kid, I was like, I'm not really digging this for a plethora of reasons. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed watching it with you.
I love the movie Grease. I've seen it. It's like there's a handful of movies that I've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of times, and can like recite every line word for word. And Grease is absolutely one of those in that handful of movies.
It was fun to watch because I think we have this moment where we share a lot of similar interests, so we can enjoy a lot of movies together. But there's also ones that we love very much, and almost that we know the other is not going to enjoy it enough to, like, I might not even invite. I fuck with you superheroes and stuff like that a lot, kind of bring it up. But I just know that you're not going to dig it. So during the day while you're working, I'll fucking watch 5 hours of shitty Superman movies because that's awesome to me. But this one was a very kind of a rare form or whatever, where I think one of us you'd actually enjoy. You know, something that you might thought that you wouldn't. So any fucking punks that are too fucking cool for school
I've never listened to the Grease soundtrack.
One. It has one of my
it kind of bangs.
Yeah. One of my favorite, if not my favorite, I would say actually my all-time favorite scene. And we're gonna wrap this up really quick. All-time favorite scene.
nice.
All-time favorite musical performance in a movie musical was Stranded at the Drive-In by John Travolta. Yeah. I mean, it is a performance and a half, my friend.
So funny. It's hilarious.
So funny.
If if you have any sentimental attachment to it, then that's
Stranded at the Drive-In.
Beauty School Dropout.
Fool. What will they say?
Oh, yeah, because you just tried to rape that girl and she wasn't into
at
it.
School.
A lot of questionable like, stuff going on.
It's like the scene, like, pretty much, like, assaults Sandy. Mm-hmm. And then, so she leaves, and then he, like, ventures.
He got fresh, tried to grab a titty.
On into the swing set, and has this, like, melancholy, but, like, what are they going to say?
It's, yeah, they're going to say
left
that,
me at the drive-in.
Yeah, that you're probably a rapist, and you need to maybe talk to the authorities about your behavior. But, you know, other than that, yeah, a lot of fun. And I like the outsiders like crime a lot or whatever, so it's kind of like this tough guy attitude to those dudes.
I mean,
and
it's
I like a slick back. It's cool. It harkens back to to a funner time.
So sure. If you're at, we have a lot of listeners still in Vancouver. I know the weather is really nice there right now.
Oh, shout out to you guys.
So if you're, you know, having like a nice day walking in the sunshine, put on the Grease soundtrack. Trust me, it's going to be a fun time.
Grease,
it's going to make your
burning
day better.
Up a quarter mile. It's so awesome too because they race for pink slips at the end of the like thing. So like they like destroy the other guy's car, but like now they have to take it home.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Something that I've been thinking about since we watched the movie. Where I'm like, do they get a tow truck now for this piece of shit car
yeah.
that they've just totaled?
Yeah.
Or it's yeah. like, do you just have to leave it there? And like, it's like, so it's a symbol, you know what I mean? For,
yeah, they
you
never
lost
really
that
established what happens to the cars afterward.
Yeah,
and the way they wrap up the movie is hilarious too, because they kind of just get they get in Grease Lightning.
Yeah,
and then they go into the sky.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
and
that.
Everyone's waving goodbye.
Oh, we got the that's where we got the noise.
I
complaint.
Think that's
yeah.
like right about when yeah. we got the knock on the door. But, anyways, thank you guys so much
yes.
for watching. We will be back next week and every week after that, forever and ever
in perpetuity.
As long as dollar hot dog nights live, so shall we.
Hell yeah, baby! We're back, bitches.
Peace.